सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। We'll chant verses 9 to 13 of Bhaja Govinda. We'll chant the chorus first and then the verse. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam, Bhaja Mudamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrin Karane, Satsangat నిస్సంగత్వం నిస్సంగత్వే నిర్మోహత్వం నిర్మోహత్వే నిశ్చలతత్వం నిశ్చలతత్వే జీవన్ముక్తిః వయసి గతే కః కామవికారః శుష్కే నీరే కః కాసారః క్షీణే విత్తే కః పరివారో ज्ञाते सत्वे कः संसारः मा कुरु धन जन यौवन गर्वं हरति निमेष काल सर्वं मायामयमिदमखिलं भूत्वा ब्रह्मपदं त्वं प्रविश विदित्वा दिनयामिन्यौ सायं प्रातः शिशिरवसन्तौ पुनरायातः काल क्रीडति गच्छत्यायुः तदपि न मुञ्चत्याशावायुः काते कान्ता धनगत चिन्ता वातुल किं तव नास्ति नियन्ता त्रिजगति सज्जन सङ्गतिरेका भवति भवा नवतरणे नौका भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षते दुःखं करणे। सो भज गोविन्दं इज अ टेक्स्ट विच when understood correctly, will give us that necessary detachment. And remember, whenever we talk about detachment, it is placing the right value to the world. Today we have an exaggerated value for the world. And the moment we begin to inquire the experiences in the world, then we continue to start giving the right value to the world. Spiritual, when a person turns spiritual, what it means is he will not be running away from the world. First, this idea has to be removed. When you turn spiritual, you begin to give the right value to the world. What is samsara? Samsara is not due to giving the right value to the world. Samsara is due to giving an exaggerated, undue value to the world. Please understand this. So when Vedanta says you have to attain mukti, you have to attain liberation, you will attain that liberation, the first step has to be giving the right value to the world. And right value will come out. It will only come through inquiry and experimentation. So to gain Vairagya and Viveka, what the scriptures tell us is you have to go through Shruti. Shruti and Smriti, these are the broad text classifications. All the scriptures are classified under Shruti, Smriti and the introductory text. Shruti means revealed knowledge. When a sage through Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga prepares and through Jnana Yoga dissolves the bulk of the knowledge, ignorance, and through meditation, last thought is also dissolved, and the ego is completely burned, the sage merges with Brahman and becomes self-realized. So when he or she gets connected to the Atma within, the pure consciousness, Atma or God, speaks through them. So such words are called Vedas. So Vedas are given by God himself or herself or itself. So therefore we say Vedas are apaurusham. It is Shruti. Shruti means heard, revealed. So in the meditative state, the Mahatmas heard this and they revealed it to the world. Now, that is the Upanishad and all that. The same Upanishads were given in explanatory format in detail. Those are called Smriti. So, when you study the Shruti and Smriti, then the Shruti and Smriti will analyze the world, they analyze the individual and bring about the essential nature of the individual and the Atma that is pervading the world, Brahman that is pervading the world, and the connection between Atma and Brahman. This is what the Shruti and Smriti talks about. So by daily study of the Shruti and Smriti, we develop detachment. And secondly, through the, observation of our predecessors, people who had lived before us, our ancestors, our parents, and the society at large, people around us. I think somebody's mic is on. Can you please put it in silent mode? I think Shobhaji's mic is on. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. So, when you observe the world around, people around, the experiences of the predecessors, then you begin to draw the true value of the world. You begin to understand that they have been mechanically chasing this world, and they came with nothing, they went with nothing. So that is where this Babur's tomb, I believe Babur has informed them that to bury him with both his palms outside, to tell the world that even an emperor like Babur went out of this world taking nothing. So the moment you kind of question the life of predecessors and the people around, then you draw the essence and begin to place the right value. That moha will go. Then the fourth thing is through your experience, which is the last. Fools learn from their own experience, wise from others. So therefore, we need to learn from Shruti, Smriti, and from people outside. So that is why he says, satsangatve, good company. Good company is that which keeps you alert. Every other company which, sings lullaby to you and makes you go off to sleep is not a good company. Good company is that which keeps you on toes, which keeps you alert. In fact, if you see a country like Israel, I'm not getting into the politics of who's right, who's wrong. I'm not getting into that. But just discussing a fact. You take Japan. Japan was devastated. Hiroshima, Nagasaki happened in Japan. And Germany was devastated. See now where they are. And Israel is surrounded by people who want to finish it off. And see how much they are growing and developing. And in the same sense, if we have neighbors who are not that favorable to us, for our country, in a way it is good for us so that it will keep us on toes. It will keep us alert. So from that angle I am discussing, anything that keeps you alert and awake and aware is good company for you. So he says, satsangatve nissangatva. This sangha, this attachment, this exaggerated value that you have placed for the world, will have to be removed. How will it happen? It will happen only through good company. Satsanga. At all levels. At the level of the food intake level. Not only food for the body, food for the thoughts as well. So what kind of people do you relate with? What kind of books do you read? What kind of environment do you constantly seek? What kind of programs do you seek to watch in the television? What kind of books do you read? What kind, you know, everything like that. When you keep asking questions, if you maintain that kind of a company, which is called good company, which will keep you alert and awake, he says that is what is going to help you to place the right value for the world. So what is samsara? Samsara is false value, undue value, exaggerated value. When you want to buy a company, you know, there are people who will do the assessment. You know, you hire a consultant, or maybe you have those people in your organization, or with the help of a consultant from outside, you go through their papers, everything for the past so many years, everything you go through, and then you decide. They are quoting X price, and you decide, and then you discuss, and then you buy. But we never do this with reference to the world. Everybody is placing an exaggerated value, and we are also taking that value for granted and running. So he says, from the good company, you get non-attachment. Satsangatve nissangatva. And once you get non-attachment, what happens? You will become free from the delusion. That, mad chasing, desirous, craving, living will be dropped. That foolish, craving, that will go. That's the delusion. The delusion is to believe that the worldly possessions will take care of my happiness. That's the delusion. So you, by giving the right value to the world, become free from the delusion. Then once the delusion is gone, he says, you develop clear steadfastness, a firmness in pursuing the higher. Why would you want to go to the fake? You want to go to the real, isn't it? Not the fake. So then he says, there arises absolute steadfastness. Nishchala tattvam. The mind starts entertaining value for the tattva. Tattva means the essence. See, when you go to buy a car, say Mercedes Benz. Now, the car is a Mercedes Benz, but the engine is something else. Will you buy it? You won't buy a car which is Dodge engine. When you go to buy Mercedes Benz, yes, no doubt the body and everything is will be looked at, but most important is the engine. So similarly, what is the essence? Tattva. Without the tattva, the world is useless. We are all running throughout our life towards the shell and leaving the kernel. We are just satisfied with the shell, forgetting the kernel. So he says you will get steadfast with reference to the kernel. From absolute steadfastness arises liberation in life. You will get absolute freedom. You will merge with Brahman. So the whole thing is an effort to be put in the beginning to maintain that satsang. Very, very important. And why we don't do that? Because good company is not that entertaining in the beginning. All the pleasant companies are very entertaining. But the good company is not at all entertaining. Isn't it? You wait for people like your coaches to quickly finish and go. You are already 45 minutes over. Your time is only for 45 minutes. I have another meeting. Let's go. We don't to go back. 45 minutes ho gaya. But with reference to people who gossip, they say, a little bit stay back. Why don't you stay back a little bit more? Why? Because it's pleasant. So therefore, he says, it is tough. But you need to put in the effort to maintain that. When you maintain that, then you get the clarity. When you get the clarity, you clearly see the cause and effect. Without clarity, you don't see the cause and effect. With clarity, you begin to see the cause and effect. So then you will not place the exaggerated value to the effect, because you know it is as long as this cause is there. So from this angle he analyzes in the next verse. Verse number 10. Vayasi gate kaha kama vikaraha shushke nire kaha kasaraha. Vayasi gate kaha kama vikaraha shushke nire kaha kasaraha. Kshine vitte kaha parivaro nyate tatve kaha samsaraha. Kshine vitte kaha parivaro nyate tatve kaha samsaraha. Vayasi gate kaha kama vikaraha shushke nire kaha kasaraha. Kshine vitte kaha parivaro nyate tatve kaha samsaraha. When the age is gone, where is the play of lust? Vayasi gate kaha kama vikaraha. Kama vikaraha, the lust and its modifications are only as long as the youthful blood is flowing in your body. The moment the youth is gone, lust is gone. So the cause is youth and lust is the effect. Vayasi gate kaha kama vikaraha. Shushke nire kaha kasaraha. Where as long as there is water, there will be lake. And the water is evaporated. Where is the lake? And then he says, Kshine vitte kaha parivaraha. Parivar, where when the wealth is gone, when the wealth is gone, where is the retinue? The following. People who are following you, once the wealth is gone, everything is gone. There's a very nice poem which says, laugh and the world will laugh with you. Weep, you weep alone. So, as long as there is wealth, he says, the retinue will be there. The following will be there. Once the wealth is gone, the following is gone. And then he says, he puts things in positive now. He says, when knowledge of reality comes, arises, then where is the terrestrial entanglement? Samsara. See, in other words, he should have said, when ignorance is gone, samsara is gone. He doesn't say that. He says, when the knowledge of reality arises, then samsara is gone. See, in other words, samsara is an imagination. You are imagining. You have tied yourself. It is at the mental level. Relating in the world, relating with the world is not samsara. But the samsara that happens due to your relationship with the world at the mental level, that is called samsara. There are some thought identifications and attachments that happens at the internal mind. That is called samsara. So he says, when the knowledge arises, when samsara is gone. Like sun, when it arises, snow gone. Snow is not there anymore. The snow exists only as long as there is darkness. There is no sun. The moment sun comes out, snow is gone. So, the whole entanglement in this world, samsara means samsarati, it is samsara. That which keeps on changing, constantly changing, birth, growth, disease, decay, death, birth, growth, disease, decay, death, manifestation, unmanifestation. This cyclic order is called samsara. So, everything in this world is part of samsara. Youth goes, along with it, lust goes, lustful play goes. Lust doesn't go. Lustful play goes. Because the body has become incapacitated to act. So in that sense, lustful play will go. But lust may be there. Then, shushke nire kaha kasa raha. The moment water is evaporated, lake is gone. It won't be called as lake thereafter. In fact, in India, many lakes have been converted into places of living. And when rain comes, the flood comes. So when water is gone, it is no more lake. Then he says, when wealth is gone, where is the parivar? Where is the following? So in other words, what he wants to say is, all these are part of samsara. All this is samsara. It will come and go. They have a beginning, they have an end. But when you gain the knowledge of reality, which is changeless, the changeless substratum over which all these changes are happening. So that changeless substratum, when you realize, when you gain the knowledge of the changeless substratum, then what happens? Then the samsara is gone, is it? Samsara is gone means this changing stuff will not have an effect on it. So therefore he says, when the knowledge of reality arises, where is the terrestrial entanglement or samsara? So therefore, while you are young, while you have wealth, wealth is not just material wealth. The fact that you are able to stand on your legs and walk without anybody's help, it is a wealth. We just don't see it that way. See, one tooth, when it falls, the doctors will tell you that you better fix a false one there. Otherwise, every other teeth will, you know, become loose and it might fall. So you have to put a false one there. And the false one, they say the best one is, you know, you better go for implant. And in implant, there are varieties. And the cheapest, I suppose, is approximately 30,000 rupees, including the doctor fee and everything. And it has its own life. It doesn't stay for long. So it's nothing compared to what God has given. Even the best one is not compared to what God has given. And if you take the cheapest teeth, a tooth, it will be 30,000 rupees to fix one. Then imagine 30 into 32 you have, which means already 1 million rupees inside your mouth. And the hair falling, my God, each hair to replace, it's a multi-million dollar business. So, in other words, wealth means when everything is going on fine, the fact that you have good health, it is the greatest of wealth. You have people to, you have some shoulders to, you know, fall upon at times of difficulty. That means you are a wealthy person. Not necessarily you have to be some multi-million dollar worth. When he says, when wealth is there, parivar is there, meaning when all this is there, it is there. But what is the problem? When all this is there, we don't see the eventuality. That's the biggest problem. Anyone who runs the business or anything in life, they never see this. You know, they go on the best things. Imagine if some company had taken loan sometime in December or January, just a few months back. There would have been a greater difficulty now, right? So, on what basis do they do all this? Because they don't see the reality. So, therefore he says, wealth is something that is subject to change. Wealth at all levels, material, physical, emotional, intellectual, it is subject to change. Youth is passing phenomenon. So when youth is there, wealth is there, use that time. Time doesn't wait for anyone. It doesn't wait for anyone. Any other resource when it is lost can be gained, but time, no way. You cannot get it back. So when youth is there, don't throw it away in a lustful play. That's all he's saying. In this verse and the next verse. Understand that you need to realize the reality. And once you gain the reality, the samsara is gone. Next verse. Next verse is also a very important and oft-quoted verse. Ma kuru dhana jana yavvana garvam harati nimesha kala sarvam. Ma kuru dhana jana yavvana garvam harati nimesha kala sarvam. Maya mayamida makhilam bhutva brahma padam tvam pravishaviditva. Maya mayamida makhilam bhutva brahma padam tvam pravishaviditva. Ma kuru dhana jana yavvana garvam harati nimesha kala sarvam. మాయామయమిదం అఖిలం భూత్వా బ్రహ్మ పదం త్వం ప్రవిశ విదిత్వా. ఇన్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ హి డైరెక్ట్లీ సేస్ దట్ మా కురు ధన జన యవ్వన గర్వం. వి డెవలప్ గర్వం, ప్రైడ్, డ్యూ టు త్రీ థింగ్స్ ఈజ్ దిస్. వన్ ఇస్ ధన. ధన మీన్స్ వెల్త్. జన means people. Yavana means youth. Ma kuru dana jana yavana garvam. Do not be proud. Do not act vain. Do not be proud over wealth, retinue and youth. Time loots all away in a moment. Harati nimesha kalasa. In a fraction of second, everything is gone. Wiped off. Harati Nimeshat Kalaha Sarva. See, this Harati Nimeshat is very interesting. We think it's a long time, but the long time goes in fraction of second. We are already been in this lockup for almost lockdown for 5 months to 6 months now. The entire 2020 will be gone. Harati Nimeshat Kalha Sarva. So, we think about time, but he says time sports and everything is lost. Time steals everything away. Kala swallows everything. You remember in the 11th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna asks Sri Krishna when he sees the Vishwarupa Darshana, where you know, Duryodhan, Karna, everybody is being pulverized inside. That Vishwarupa Darshana is crushing them. When he sees that, say, who are you? Please make known who are you. I want to know who you are. Then Bhagavan Vishnu says, I am Kalosmi Bharatarsha. I am Kala. All devouring Kala. Everything Kala completely digests. So he says, time loots away everything in a moment. Harati Nimeshat Kalaha Sarva. So, Maya Mayam Idam Akilam Budhva. Budhva means having understood, having realized. But having realized that this entire world is Maya Maya. Means constantly passing, illusion. It is only there as long as you see it. See, when the mind is not there, it's not there. When, as long as youth is there, the skin is tight, youthful play is there. So when the mind is there, samsara is there. When you are in deep sleep, the mind is not there. When the mind is not there, the world is not there. The moment the mind comes, world comes. So, he says, therefore, having understood that all this is illusory, Maya. Maya means Yamasa Maya, that which is not. The opposite of it is reality, Satyam, which is always there. Maya means that which appears to be there, which is not there. Now, the problem in the world is that which appears to be there, when you're caught up in that, what is actually there, you don't see. So a person who's lost in Maya, for that person, what is actually there seems to be not existing. But even when the reality which is always there, to you it seems that it is not there, it remains always. And that which is never there, even though it seems to be there for you when you are caught in illusion, it is never there. Are you getting it? Everybody is in non-video mode, so I don't know whether you are understanding or not. Therefore I am asking. Now this is a very, very interesting point. This actually we studied in Bhagavad Gita also. the 16th verse of chapter 2. Very, very important verse. He says, this is what he's saying there. Nasato vidyate bhavaha, nabhavo vidyate sattaha, upayorapi drishtontaha, tonayos tattva darshaha, darshibihi. Means what? What is unreal is never there. What is real is always there. Now, why does he have to say this? It's true, right? Unreal never ceases, never exists, and real never ceases to be. But why does he say that there? He says that because unreal seems to be there now, and real doesn't seem to be there for you. That is why, if somebody calls you, you know, Sadhana, Avantika, Avanti, you are very happy. But if somebody comes and tomorrow, supposing by chance, they call you, hi Brahman, how are you? You will die of heart attack. Brahman, what are you saying? You understand? What does this fellow want? He's calling me Brahman. I'm studying about it, correct? But then, I don't think so, I'm Brahman. It's nice to hear for 1 hour, something it does to me. So I'm studying. But I would like to be called as Avantika. Please don't call me Brahman. That we become skeptical. But this is why he says, that which is there is always there, even though you don't see it. That which is not there is never there, even though you see it. This is called Maya. But to understand Maya only, we have to go through somersault. See, in other words, what he's saying is, this name and form is there for us because we are seeing it from the eyes and mind. Isn't it? From the perception or organs of perception and the mind. So this is there. But from the reality angle, this is not there. So these are all appearances. When you see the pot, you don't see the clay. And the clay is always there. Name and form is never there. It is appearing to be there. Even when you are seeing name and form, clay is there. So, therefore, that is Maya. So, reality, the definition of reality is that which existed in the past, which exists now, will continue to exist in the future as the same. That is the definition of reality. Now you subject all your experiences to this definition and see if they fit into the definition. Now, who is this individual? Avantika, Sadhana, Avanti, Lakshmi Narayan, Madhu. Who is all this? Anybody? Who is Mamta? Who is Pooja? Who's this?
All a part of Brahman, all a part of something that will change, like you saying the clay.
Every being goes through three states of consciousness. The waking state of consciousness, the dream state of consciousness, and the deep sleep state of consciousness. So, the pure consciousness becomes the waker, dreamer, and deep sleeper. Now, Avantika is waker or dreamer or deep sleeper. Who is she?
I think the
who's her?
Right now.
She's being very honest. But factually, who is she? Waker. Why are you getting so confused? Everybody seems to be so totally confused. I am also talking because I am understanding that you are all wakers. I don't talk to sleeping people, right? So, remember this. Sadhana is a waker. Madhushri is a waker. Avanti is a waker. Right? Avanti is a waker who is relatively fine. And she may go off to sleep, and in sleep she may be going through dream, and in dream she may think she is having some problem. Let's just for example, Avanti may be financially okay, but she may dream that she is not financially okay. So the dreamer personality is different, waker is different, deep sleeper is different. The name given to the waker is Avanti. When Avanti goes to sleep and becomes the dreamer, the experiences are different, isn't it? So that personality, you've got to give another name just to differentiate it. Now, this Avanti is real as long as you are a waker. Avanti and Avanti's world are real only as long as you remain in this state. But you don't remain in this state for long. You go to sleep, and then you go to dream, and then you go to deep sleep. So when you go to dream, the money that you have earned in the waking state will not help you to pay off your loans in the dream state. Okay? Then, for the dreamer, the dream world is real. But for the dreamer, just to differentiate, let us say the waker is called Avanti, and the dreamer we call as Shanti. For Avanti, Avanti's world exists and it's real. All her pains is real. All her pleasures are real to her. When she falls out to sleep and she becomes Shanti in the dreamer, dreaming state, for Shanti, Avanti's wealth, Avanti's pleasure, Avanti's pain is of no use. You understand? It doesn't exist for her. So then, similarly, for Shanti, all that exists. But when Shanti moves from that state of dream to deep sleep, and in deep sleep, what happens? You are neither Avanti nor are you Shanti.
Yes.
You are absolutely in, what do you call, thoughtless state. That deep sleep state rejects both Avanti state and Shanti state. So, all these states are real only as long as they exist. They don't exist all the time. So, you cannot call it real. But you cannot call it unreal also. Why? Because when you are Avantika, your world is real to you. It exists. It is not that it doesn't exist anytime. So you cannot call it unreal. Nor can you call it real. But then can you call it partly real, partly unreal? No, because reality and unreality cannot coexist. So then you get into a problem. What? You cannot call it real. You cannot call it unreal. You cannot call it partly real, partly unreal. Then what do you call it? The word given for that is Maya. Ya Masa Maya. Ya Masa Maya means that which is not. So therefore he says, this entire world is illusory. Having understood that, now once you gain this understanding, he says, having understood this and realized all this as totally illusory, you enter the state of reality, Brahman. Then what exists all the time? Now the waker, how does the waker refer oneself? When Avantika will talk about her in the waking state, how will she refer to herself? She'll say, I. And in dream, Shanti will refer to herself as how? I. So, waker refers with the word I. Dreamer uses the word I to refer oneself. Then you come to waking state, and then you talk about the deep sleep state. Because in the deep sleep state, nobody's talking. When you come to the waking state and you talk about the deep sleep state, then you say, I slept well. I had no dreams. I enjoyed a dreamless sleep last night. So that means that deep sleeper is also called as I. And in the waking state, you were a small child. Then you grew up and become a woman. Then you will grow to become an old woman. So the child is different from the young woman. The young woman is different from the old woman. But when you were a child, you said, I am a child. Then you say, I am a young woman. Then you say, I am an old woman. But the I continues to be the same. So the illusory world is projected upon that I. So all this wealth, following youth, all these are projected stuff. They are not real stuff. You understand? Once you get this, then it's fine. See, in other words, what he's trying to say is, during COVID times, now, you may have some staff, or maybe your staff is sent away and you have no staff. Everything you have to do yourself. This is the bottom reality. So what Bhajagovindam is teaching us is, it is not saying do not have staff, do not have this, do not have that. While you have all this, you never lose your bottom reality. You should never lose that capacity. That's what he's teaching here. Ma kuru dhana jana yavana garvam harati nimesha kalas. Before you realize everything is gone. These are something that will constantly go because it is something that came in between. So the only thing that can protect you is reality. Nothing else. So therefore he says, while the youth is there, while you can have all the fun, never forget identifying with the reality. Your wealth should also be used for that purpose. See, you've got to have wealth and prosperity, wealth and prosperity. What is the difference between wealth and prosperity? Anybody? You keep saying wealth and prosperity, no? So what is the difference?
Out of hoarding.
Huh.
Prosperity is, it's an all-time thing. It's a free, it's not stagnant.
Brilliant. Wealth is stagnant, prosperity is dynamic. Prosperity is growth. May you prosper. When you wish somebody, you say that, no? May you prosper. You know? May you grow. So, growth, when wealth is dynamic. So when will it be dynamic? When it is put to use for the purpose of life. So, Oliver Goldsmith says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. Men means women also. Wealth accumulates. When it is stagnant, you're only hoarding, then you decay. Your mind gets corrupted. But when the wealth is put back, and it's dynamically utilized for the purpose of growth, then it is prosperity. In prosperity, you enjoy. In wealth, there is fear. Prosperity attributes to the mental health as well. Whereas wealth is only at the material level. So therefore, you've got to use the wealth to prosper towards your goal. And that is to realize the self. Otherwise, what is the use? That is the question he's asking here. Or he's making us think, you are youth. But what do? We waste it in all this lustful play as an end in itself. He's not saying, don't go through that. In fact, for you to go through that dharmically, the grihastha ashrama is given. Grihastha ashrama is for you to go through all that dharmically. So that you rise above that. While you go through that, you don't indulge in it. You retain that ability and see the reality which is underlined. Once you get that, then nothing in this world can shake you. So do not act vain over wealth, youth, and following. Following, Shakespeare says, reputation is an idol, most false imposition, of God without merit and lost without deserving it. This is the following. Now, the problem is, everybody is talking about following in Twitter. How many followers do you have? You know. Now, you need to have some millions of followers. And there are people telling you, do this, do that, do all sorts of nonsense, so that you get following. Whereas we are studying in Bhajagovindam, this following is flimsy. Reputation is an idol. It's a brilliant quotation from Shakespeare. It says, reputation is an idol, most false imposition. And everybody keeps saying, oh, she's very good, she's very good, she's very good, she's very good. And then everybody repeats it. And then over a period of time, you become popular. Everybody says you are good, 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 good. Something that you never did. They assume that you did it. You are accused. And nowadays, if you see, my God, this media, this all this, they will go about. Court is probably later on may completely, you know, acquit you. But by the time all this has happened, and your reputation is gone. So, he says, for no fault of yours, your reputation will be taken away from you. Without you doing anything great, you would have got reputation. Then without you doing anything wrong, it will be removed from you. It is such a flimsy thing. Reputation is an idol, most false imposition. Oft got without merit, and lost without deserving it. You have not really done anything wrong, but then there suddenly some accusation, somebody says something, oh, you said, my God, I never knew that, you know. And everybody starts repeating that and then gone. And what is this such a flimsy thing to which everybody succumbs? You just need to be flattered. Flattery is the biggest weakness for everyone. Biggest weakness. So, he says this reputation is there as long as you have wealth. So, why don't you focus and ask what is real wealth? That is what he's saying. What is the real wealth? Sampati is the word we use in Sanskrit. The real wealth is character. So when you play golf, you may be playing all alone and there is no camera, nobody is watching you. And the ball you have hit has gone into the bush. You could easily put it back and then play. But you start playing from there, that shows your character. You understand? That character is your wealth. The trusting in truth is your wealth. Being rooted in the truth, in the fact, in the realities, is your wealth. In the Mundaka Upanishad, he says, Satyameva Jayate Nanritam. Satyameva Jayate. Na, the false will never win. Satyameva Jayate. That is your real wealth. So he says, this wealth which is maya, time will loot. But that wealth, time cannot loot it. But the problem is, we all are running after the fake wealth. and the real wealth is lost. So you when you enter the state of reality, Brahman, which is the real wealth, nothing can disturb you. So having understood this, realized this as such, you will enter the state of reality. Meaning you will be grounded, you will be rooted. Thereafter nothing can uproot you. This is a beautiful verse. He says, Ma Kuru Dhana Jana Yabbanakar. While you are young, learn this. While you are wealthy, learn this. While you are following, learn this. So therefore, he is not saying, send away all your following. You don't become dependent on them. There was a sage who, for anything, whatever the world will say, he will say, is that so? Is that so? That's all. So, when they praised him to skies and said, what a simple, great human being you are, Swamiji. So he said, is that so? Is that so? And then they accused him of something wrong in between. Somebody, you know, put some masala and he was accused. And the whole world turned against him and said, we thought you were a great guy, but you are the worst fellow. And for that also he said, is that so? Is that so? And then after some time when they realized the truth, they came and asked for his forgiveness and said, Swamiji, we are so bad, we are so bad. How we could have, doubted you? Even though we doubted you and cursed you, you were always blessing us. You always had fond feelings for us. What a great man you are. Again, is that so? Is that so? See, this is something that comes and goes. Why you want to tie yourself to that? You should be like that lighthouse. Waves will come and go. So therefore he says, having understood this, how will you understand this? When you subject your life to inquiry. So when youth is there, inquire. When wealth is there, inquire. When following is there, inquire. Do not lose yourself in all this. That's why we say when you're young, you should study this. Not when you become old. When you become old, when you can hardly see, what book will you read? When you can hardly hear. How will you read? No doubt, better late than never. But then, you got to start when you're young. Before the world kicks you, you kick the world. Next verse. Dinayaminyau sayam pratah shishiravasantau punarayata. Dinayaminyau sayam pratah shishiravasantau punarayata. Kala kridati gachatyayuhu tadapina munchatyashavayuhu. Kala kridati gachatyayuhu tadapina munchatyashavayuhu. Dinayaminyau sayam pratah shishiravasantau punarayatah. Kala kridati gachatyayuhu tadapina munchatyashavayuhu. Day and night. Dhanaya minya. Day and night. Sayam prata. Evening and morning. Dusk and dawn. Winter and spring. Puna means again. Ayataha. They come again and go again. Kala kridati, time is sporting. Gachati ayuhu, life passes. Tadapina munchati asha vayu. Beautiful. He says, yet the gust of desire leaves not. It's very, very interesting. Day and night, dusk and dawn, winter and spring come repeatedly. Meaning everything keeps going, changing, floating, passing. Everything is absolutely fleeting. Time sports. life passes. From childhood, it passes to youth. From youth, it passes to old age. And from that, it passes to next Janma. Yet, the gust of desire leaves not. This is the unbelievable thing. A lot of people think with experience you become wise. The problem is, a lot of people have not learned from their experiences. They only become more and more bound. What keeps you binding is your desire. Desire absolutely deludes you. And then you are bound. You run. You get caught. It is due to the desire, nothing else. But yet the desire will not go. Why? Because you have no time to sit and inquire. You don't have time to question. You never question. So there is a need to exhaust your vasanas, your desires. See, the biggest problem is we don't sit and ask this question, what do I really want in life? What I really want is happiness. So if it is happiness that I want, will I get it from sense indulgence or sense control? Now, it seems that through sense indulgence, I get happiness. Sense control brings frustration. Isn't it? When I take my senses to the objects, the sense gets pleasure, which gives me happiness. But when I control my senses and I don't take it to the objects, happiness doesn't seem to come. So I am deluding to believe that happiness is there in contact. But what happens when I'm going on contacting? My senses loses the capacity to contact. Not only that, the mind develops the desire more and more. So in the mind there is more desire, but the senses have lost the capacity to contact. Now, is this going to give you happiness, this stage? No, this stage will not give you happiness. It will give you frustration. Why? There is desire in the mind, but the capacity is not there in the body. So that means what? Sense indulgence in the beginning gives you happiness, but slowly, slowly makes you bound and takes away the happiness. Now come to sense control. When you control your senses, don't indulge, you contact with your intellect on a regulated basis, then you retain the capacity always and you begin to enjoy throughout your life. So therefore, the happiness comes in sense control, not in sense indulgence. So, when I understand this, then what will I do? I invest my time, youth, wealth, everything to develop these kind of things like sense control, etc. So the idea is to regulate my contact, not indulge in my contact. The idea is to reduce vasanas. See, a wise man goes on reducing. Unwise fellow goes on adding. See, remember this. Spirituality is the path of losing. Non-spirituality is the path of dominating, adding, accumulating. If you become wise, you will stop adding. First thing that will happen is you will stop adding. Second thing that will happen is reducing from what you already have. It will happen at the mind level, it will happen at the body level, it will happen at the material level. At the material level also it will happen. It's very, very interesting. Therefore, he says, time, sports, life passes at the gust of desire leaves not. And unless the desire leaves, there is no moksha. There is no liberation. There is no happiness. As long as there is desire, you have no happiness, you don't enjoy. Desire will not allow you to enjoy. Nor will you allow the other fellow to enjoy. Neither will you enjoy, nor will you allow the other fellow to enjoy. Therefore, he says, day and night, dusk and dawn, winter and spring, they come repeatedly. They come and go. In fact, they are constantly in movement. Time sports. See, by the time you say now, it has become then. And the, you know, the power of Maya, nobody realizes. When you are seeing an object, as you are seeing it is changing, but you don't register the change. The change is not perceptible at the time. It becomes perceptible a little later. You shave in the morning completely, and in the evening you see again the hair has grown. It is not that evening only the hair started growing. It is as soon as you shaved, it started growing again. But it becomes visible by the time it's evening. So, time sports means everything is in a constant flux of change. You are not the same person who leaves this classroom compared to the person who came into this classroom. You have changed. You don't see it. Whether changed for the good or bad, I don't know. But some changes happen. So he says, everything completely passing. Time sports. Life is passing. And we are going on singing, happy birthday to you. Every time you are singing happy birthday means one more year getting closer to the death. We are... In fact, philosophically, death is not a big deal because, in fact, when you start understanding Vedanta, birth is a concern. Death is not a concern. Ulta ho jata hai. See, wise fellow is afraid of birth. Foolish fellow only is afraid of death. You do not want to start a samsara. You will think before starting 25,000 times. If you are wise. If you are foolish, you will not think, you will just start. You will just start. And once you start, then the samsara starts. Why did you think before? Now it's too late, sir. Takare. So, wise person is not afraid of death. Wise person is only afraid of birth. Because death is only for the born. Why take birth and then die? How to avoid birth? You got to avoid the desire. What made you take birth in an environment? What made you take birth in an environment is your desires. Therefore, you got to exhaust the desires. So this passing, fleeting phenomenon called the world has to be used by us to exhaust the desires. But then what do? Foolishly we keep adding. And we are thinking we are adding and we are intelligent and wise. Top 100 most powerful people in the world, Forbes. I don't understand what is in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, who is powerful? Can anybody answer that? Who is really powerful? Who is powerful person?
One who doesn't get affected with what's happening around.
Okay, anything else? Who would you consider as most powerful person? The same thing what you said, correct. You are saying correct only, but I am expecting it in a different way.
Someone who has equanimity in during ups and downs, non-attachment and equanimity.
Yeah, yeah. You and Avantika are answering the question, but I am waiting for that one particular word. Whatever you said, if you want to put it in one word, what will it be?
Detached, vairagya.
What is another word for it?
Consciousness.
Control. Self-control.
No.
One who is living in consciousness.
Independent.
Correct. One who is not dependent. Your power is gone the moment you become dependent. Isn't it? Immediately, you will become weak. That is why he says, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Balam Balavata Masmi Kamarada Vivarjita. I am the strength of the strong who is devoid of desires. The moment you have a desire, balam gone. See, a managing director of, or a boardroom, labor leader enters with so much power and confidence, he talks, says, excuse me, we've been asking for rain boots for all of us. We've not been providing. What is this? We've not seemed to have budgeted for it. Are you going to give us rain boots or not? Rainy season is coming. He's not asking for himself. He has absolutely no desire, no personal desires there. He is asking for the entire people who are working in the organization, and it's in the good food. He's talking from the good angle of the organization only. So he's so much power, enters and talks and says, come on, are you going to give it or not? Should we call for a strike? Next day, same boardroom he enters. Because he wants a job for his son in his company. Now, sir, excuse me, sir, what are you saying, sir? Power gone. Yesterday, absolute power. Why? No ego, no selfishness, no desire.
So, once you have it on your side, let me know.
Madhuji, thank you. So, if you have an ounce of selfishness or ego or desire, your power is gone. Real power is being without any desire. I don't want anything. As long as there is wanting, as long as there is dependence, you are not powerful. That's why I said the definition of richness needs to be re-looked upon. You are not rich by all that you have. You are rich by what all you can be without. Your richness has to be measured by all the things that you can be without. But today, unfortunately, the power, the Forbes list, most powerful, is measured from what? What all they have? This is what Bhajagovindam or scriptures are calling as delusion. Delusion means all wrong thinking. The more I have, I think I am powerful. What all you can be without, that gives you the power. So, he says, yet the gust of desire leaves not. Desire is a problem. So he says, day and night, dusk and dawn, winter and spring, everything keeps coming and going. But the desire doesn't go. Not only it doesn't go, it becomes more strong. It becomes more powerful. In other words, we don't grow. We only become old. And it is really, what do you call it? What is the word to use? Obnoxious. See, when you see a child playing with toys, it's not obnoxious. But when you see, you know, an old fellow playing still with toys, and the teddy bear and all that, it's obnoxious. So when you have not left the desire, is not moved. In other words, body is becoming old, but you are not growing. That's what he's saying. So growth is dropping, not accumulating. Understand it correctly. Day goes, night goes, winter comes, goes, summer comes, goes, everything comes and goes, but you never grow. Your desires are going on accumulating. You are not growing, you are only aging, he says. Aging, you don't have to put in much effort. You eat and somehow survive, you will age. But to grow, you need to put in effort. So that's why he says, time is sporting. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop for anybody. Kala kridati, he says. Gacchati ayu. Ayuhu gacchati. Now this concept you need to understand. When the mind is having too many desires and it becomes restless, you will also have to notice your breathing. When you notice your breathing, how is it? When you are restless, notice your breathing when you are calm and composed, balanced. Very, very interesting. So, when our mind is restless, we'll be breathing heavily and we'll be draining our energy. We are quickly burning the energy and going towards the death very fast, like moth rushing towards the flame. But when we begin to control our desires and we become calm, our energy doesn't get dissipated. Your life also becomes qualitative and quantitatively superior. So he says, gacchati ayuhu. Wasting it, in the sense, draining your energy, dissipating it in this frivolous play and going on increasing the desires. And once you increase the desires, you are bound. You are tied. Once you are tied, you continue. This is what is happening. So therefore, he's asking us to pause and ponder before living this routine mechanical existence. Everybody is living this kind of a routine mechanical existence. Question it. Offload the desires. The technique of living is, while you age, the desires should have been offloaded. But with age, if your desires have increased, then you didn't know how to live your life. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Udhyatmanava Prakate Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next week. Hari Om.
Thank you, Guruji. Hari Om.
Thank you.